Hi there, I'm Sash Mukherjee from Ecosystem. And over the last couple of years, many of you would have heard me say that finally we are seeing technology business alignment in organizations. What this has also done is increase the workload for technology teams and also their confusion on what they should focus on to bring value to businesses. To talk about the challenges of tech teams, I'd like to welcome Shankar Selvadurai, the Vice President and CTO of IBM Asia Pacific. Shankar, great to have the opportunity to talk to you today.
Hi, Sash. Thank you for the introduction and thank you for the opportunity. Really delighted to be here and I look forward to the conversation.
You're just the right person for it, Shankar, because you have a lot of insights on the strategic capabilities of technology. So where do you see the biggest challenges for technology teams in organizations when it comes to alignment with business outcomes and objectives?
Yeah, Sesh, I think you're absolutely right. I think your introduction towards the alignment, right? I think business and technology have become a lot more aligned in the past couple of years. And I think this was stepped up when the COVID-19 pandemic started. The majority of organizations had to accelerate digital transformation. They had to quickly pivot to embrace employees working remotely and to service customers almost entirely in a digital way, right? However, I think as we start to come out of the pandemic this year, we are seeing the macroeconomic situation is rapidly shifting and becoming increasingly unpredictable. I think you got supply chain disruption, labor and skills shortage, particularly with the technical workforce, rising energy prices, which is fueled by the war in Eastern Europe, and more recently, rising inflation. And each of these disruptions, right, are interdependent. So I think all of this volatility and ongoing shift is driving constant changes to market dynamics and customer demand, which in turn is really keeping our IT and technology teams on their toes. So I think if you're going to be successful in navigating these disruptions, I think technical teams need to mature and master capabilities, I think, in three areas. One is have better visibility in mitigating risks and identifying opportunities. Two, better predictability in the execution of end-to-end processes. And three, better flexibility in addressing the resilience that is required.
Very, very good point, especially on, you know, the volatility of the market. And we see that that is going to kind of rule the next year, definitely. So, Shankar, IT environments are becoming increasingly complex, right? And we have seen a certain degree of fragmentation of infrastructure. Organizations have become distributed. At the same time, organizations also need access to real-time data. You know, that's what business technology alignment means, you know, access to real-time data to gather the right insights. So what is the solution for them?
I think one approach has been taken is to centralize the data. Now, while this solves the scale issue with the point-to-point approach, it does introduce other cost and complexity. For example, the cost to copy, the cost to store, and then you have to keep the data synchronized, right? And with every new data source added, this problem only worsens. And central data collection also does not resolve requirements for the recent regional data protection rules, right, that prohibit data collection in places outside your own region, right? So I think to address the challenges, we really need to rethink where and how data is captured, processed, and stored. You need a data management architecture that supports consistent data capabilities across the organization network, whether it is on-premise or on multiple different cloud environments. Instead of thinking of databases, data lakes, data warehouse, or data marts as fixed stores of data, I think you need to view data as flowing through a network pipe that is on a tap where the right data is available to the right location and the right application at the right time. And there is no expensive movement of data when required to perform analytics. Different business units can continue to own and manage their own data without having to consolidate their platforms, and decisions can be made more real time, closer to the point of interaction or engagement. So what you have is, instead of a point-to-point connection or a single hub-style data collection, you have a data fabric. And that data fabric spans a virtual or logical net across disparate and hybrid data sources. The virtual net is established using what we call an intelligent knowledge catalog. And the catalog has knowledge about how data is linked to each other and how best to deliver the data to the consumer. This is information is then used to drive a lot of the intelligent automation and decision-making related to everything from data discovery, data cataloging, data integration, and what data is delivered to whom and when and how. The knowledge catalog is what I would say is pretty much the brain of the data fabric, controlling how that all the different peripherals are engaged and orchestrated. So in short, right, I think with the data fabric architecture, you now have the ability to improve visibility with data insights, where the data is going to be fragmented in a hybrid world, but still growing exponentially.
I'm sure a lot of IT, workforce would be happy about getting rid of the centralized data repository. That's for sure. They've had lots of challenges with those. You spoke about business and technology processes, and we have seen automation, having a steady uptick of adoption for a while now. We talk about the need for several AI solutions and tools across the organization. How do digital teams actually maintain visibility over them all?
I think with the digital acceleration we saw during the pandemic, we also saw organizations piling on more technical debt as they needed to act quickly. A lot of the digitization that took place happened on a disaggregated IT landscape, which in turn, I think, increased the complexity with not just the siloed data, but also disconnected processes across the application estate. So now, in order to address the risks related to labor uncertainties and talent supply, as well as the increasing complexity of businesses and IT processes, what we are seeing is that organizations are progressively building capabilities using intelligent automation. And AI is increasingly being infused into process automation, both in business and IT. And this infusion of AI is really helping organizations to scale automation, particularly in industries that are forced to rely on a reduced and volatile workforce, right? These intelligent automation systems understand signals from data in a way that is similar to humans, but can consume data with far greater speed. They can also learn from interactions and respond accordingly to automate the workflows. And from an IT process perspective, we're seeing AI playing a key role in driving automation in data centers and everything from predicting faults to responding to capacity needs. AI, or rather AI ops, is literally paving the way for the era of the lights out data center. And many of the use cases in the data centers are pretty sophisticated, going beyond just managing application and infrastructure issues, right? They include use cases like predictive maintenance of equipments, managing the temperature in the data centers, as well as optimizing power usage. Intelligent automation has also been particularly valuable during the pandemic in helping to keep a minimal number of staff on site in the data center and to keep those that are there safe, right? But I think AIOps goes beyond just use cases in a single physical location. They support enterprise applications in a hybrid multi-cloud environment where different parts of a single application or service can reside in a public cloud, on a private cloud, or on a traditional IT system on-premise, right? And managing resources across these different data centers and optimizing the performance of the hybrid application to deliver on the customer SLA can be extremely challenging. And I think this is where AIOps comes in. It makes it easier to link processes end-to-end, going across silos, cutting across functions. It enables a much more holistic view that provides a better insight and understanding across multiple different infrastructure layers. So I think it's important to keep in mind that automating workflows and processes has a direct impact on revenue. I think it enables businesses to meet customer needs much more seamlessly and consistently, particularly during periods of uncertainty, right? So intelligent automation with AI certainly helps drive better predictability.
So Shankar, let's flip the coin a little bit, right? So we've been talking about infrastructure fragmentation and data proliferation, but there's obviously an expanding attack surface for organizations as well. And at Ecosystem, we have been talking about zero trust for a while, as is IBM. Yet organizations don't appear to have moved away from a basic concept of, you know, perimeter security. They're still investing in network security. Why do they need to consider zero trust as a cyber option?
I think that's right, Sash. I think, when the pandemic began, right, I think millions of employees started to work from home and are still continuing to do so. Every work from home employee or hybrid worker connecting remotely, I think it represents an expansion of an organization's attack surface and creates new openings for threat actors, right? Also, the increased digitization of products and services during the pandemic has further added potential entry points for cyber criminals. And it's not just employees and customers who are accessing these digital resources remotely. There's also a growing number of suppliers and partners all using multiple devices from distributed and remote locations, right? Unfortunately, as you mentioned, right, the parameter-centric security approach cannot cope with the dynamic nature of this large attack surface. I think the vast number of connections and resources you need to manage makes user verification complex and almost impossible. In addition, I think these attacks move fast and infect machines in seconds. The problem is further exacerbated with multiple different security tools in the organization that generate alerts all on the same attack, making it extremely difficult to understand the incident. So in order to address the challenge, organizations need to modernize their threat detection and response capability. You need to eliminate the silos, gain visibility across distributed data sources, everything from cloud to the core systems. You need to unify the workflows between tools without having to pivot between them. And I think organizations need to embrace what we call, what you just talked about, a zero trust framework, because it helps manage the risk where you have a disconnected business environment, but still need to allow users access to those resources. An important aspect of zero trust, I think, that makes this possible is the use of context to securely connect the right users to the right data at the right time under the right conditions. And AI and analytics are used extensively here to continuously validate connections between users, data, and resources. I think from my point of view, the zero trust approach enables organizations to do three key things. First, I think it helps reduce risk of ransomware attacks with a more dynamic enforcement of security controls and automating the responses to threats targeting the business. Second, it allows organizations to move and operate more confidently in a hybrid cloud environment by having centralized visibility and control across the enterprise. And third, I think it enables the workforce to work from anywhere on any device with access to the tools and data required in any ecosystem. So zero trust, you know, actually enables greater flexibility in addressing risk and resiliency, especially during periods of uncertainty.
Shankar, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. But thank you very much for sharing your insights with us. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Sash, and thank you for the opportunity again to share my thoughts.
Our pleasure. Read the Ecosystem Byte on the 5 ways IT teams can help unlock the value of data.